ever.
I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Good morning. This is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, standing in for Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty. It's nice to be with everyone. I'm going to be giving everyone a rundown on the top stories of today's World Affairs Brief, which will be coming out. We're going to talk about the Mumbai terror investigation with some of its too-good-to-be-true announcements. We're going to talk about Obama's dream team being a future nightmare for America. Who will be Obama's handler in the presidency, Hillary's new job, and Obama's eligibility for the presidency showdown with the Supreme Court. First story is the Mumbai terror investigation. Seems to be too good to be true. In an all-too-familiar pattern is once again emerging in the Mumbai terror investigation. Prior knowledge by government and their secret services, involvement of organized crime and arming terrorists, prior warnings to key establishment people and targets, and no preparations to stop the events. You know, as government sources begin to leak what they knew about the attackers and their supporters before the event, it becomes very clear that they all knew way too much to have allowed these terrorist leaders to remain free. The listed Pakistani-based terror training camps in Lashkar-e-Taiba have been known for years and have not been eliminated. That raises questions. You know, it's a little wonder that analysts such as myself view the war on terror as phony and manipulated. Terrorism really is a two-edged sword, simultaneously threatening to innocent civilians and necessary, it seems, to conspiring governments to create conflict. And that's the rub. You know, for example, there are no armed terrorist groups of any size in the world today that are not sponsored and funded, at least indirectly, by government black operations, including those in the West. There are no major black market arms dealers that are not tolerated and used on occasion by Western black operations. Neither are there any major criminal syndicates that do not operate without some cooperation with the dark side of governments. And that's precisely why the CIA and Pakistani ISI, their counterpart, know almost everything about these events before they happen. No agency is good enough to develop all this intelligence within days of a major terrorist event. They have these things already on file. You know, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Joint Chief of Staff Admiral Mike Mullen go to Pakistan and India to mediate the tense rift between the two nuclear powers. Rice is calling for a thorough investigation, and Mullen's there to twist arms. But there is no such thing as a fair investigation anymore. All government investigations are designed to cover up certain key facts and motives, especially those that are embarrassing to them or that involve illegal acts. Already there's so much disinformation flooding the news channels that it's impossible to sort it out unless you are on the inside. Internet writers all claiming too good to be true. Unnamed sources have blamed CIA, the Pakistani ISI, the Israeli Mossad, the Hindu right wing in India, and organized crime king Dawood Ibrahim for this attack. But they can't all be the exclusive controllers, though it is possible each has colluded with the other on numerous occasions. So here are some of the suspicious details we're dealing with this week. The sole terrorist captured alive claims that there were only 10 terrorists divided into five teams of two, each assigned to attack two targets. That seems like a very small number to cover 10 targets, including massive hotels like the Taj Mahal in Oberia, which are vast. And yet with half the Indian police barely armed and poorly trained, this does seem possible. For example, Maharashtra, the India's richest state, has 180,000 policemen, but only 2,000 weapons, of which 500 to 600 are earmarked for Mumbai, a city of 13 million people. I mean, that's nearly disarmed policemen. All but one policeman initially fled from the attackers, and he, ironically, was unarmed. He was forced to grab the gun of a fleeing policeman to engage the two terrorists who were shooting up the train station with AK-47s. He successfully wounded Ajmal Kasab, or Ahmad Kasad, who survived to tell the whole story to police. Now, the success of the attack was greatly enhanced by the outgunned police force and strict gun controls for private citizens. It also didn't help that the Indian government, notified within 10 minutes of the initial hostilities, took over 10 hours to get its elite Black Cat commandos on the scene, of course, which smacks of more than incompetency. It took them 3 days to root out two terrorists in each hotel. One source tells Wayne Madsen that the fires were started by U.S. clandestine services, living it up in five-star hotels, burning secret documents in order to keep them out of the hands of the terrorists. I have no way of confirming that, but it is not out of the ordinary for U.S. black operation leaders to live high on the hog, so to speak, when abroad. The Times of India reports that Ahmal's interrogator said he received rigorous training and had been primed for Fidayeen attacks. He and others in the training camps were subjected to severe beatings by their trainers to develop resistance against any kind of interrogation. Of course, he sang like a canary to the police, which doesn't make sense. Ahmal also revealed the names of 9 other terrorists who carried out the Mumbai attacks and were killed in various places. The 9 names revealed by Ahmal reflect that the youngest was 20 years old, while the eldest was 28. And the young age was confirmed by accounts of numerous eyewitnesses shocked by how young and fanatical these terrorists were. The terror group which attacked Mumbai was imparted training at various camps and in different groups, all of them, and some even military bases on Pakistani soil. Before assembling near Karachi, Pakistan, the 10 terrorists had never met each other, Ahmal claimed. They met for the first time in September. Ahmal named his mentors as Sayed, or Mufti Sayed, Fahudallah, Ustad Rahman, Abu Anus, and gave them maritime training and taught them use of weapons and grenades. And the investigator said that those named by Ahmal as tutors, many were retired from the Pakistani army. Now, this is what the dark side calls cutouts, so as to provide no direct trace to the ISI or the Pakistani army, meaning you cut them out of the military, you pretend like they're retired. So we'll be after the break.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, Just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, this is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief standing in for Dr. Stan on Radio Liberty today. We are talking about the attack on Mumbai and all of the flood of information that's coming from intelligence agencies leaking reports to newspapers and reporters. This is very strange in the sense that almost always there's a standard stonewalling technique that investigators use, but this is an ongoing investigation. We're not allowed to release any details. If they're releasing a flood of details, that's usually a sign that we're dealing with some level of disinformation or at least political posturing to try to exacerbate the tension between India and Pakistan. It seems like, you know, as I said this week, everyone in intelligence is flooding information to reporters. What can we trust? Asia Times writer Raja Murphy put it best when he said, 15 Mumbai police officers are interrogating Kassab. Apparently each one is sneaking his own version of proceedings to media contacts, with the Maharashtra state government too busy with its own woes to plug the leaks. After a week-long struggle for survival, Chief Minister Deshmukh was sacked on Wednesday. The firing followed the resignations of Indian Home Minister Shivraj Patil and his Mumbai counterpart, R.R. Patil. With the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, Israeli police, and Scotland Yard joining in the interrogations, more versions of Kassab's statements can be expected until Mumbai police reveal actual videos of his recorded testimony, which wouldn't occur until after some type of trial occurred. Here's another one. According to anonymous leaks in the Daily Hindustan Times, the research and analysis wing, India's equivalent of the CIA, intercepted satellite telephone conversations indicating that the terrorists would arrive by sea using a prohibited route from Pakistani waters and attack five-star hotels in Mumbai. The first major sign, a newspaper reporter, was a satellite telephone call between a known operative of the Pakistani terrorist group, Lashkar-e-Taiba, and an unknown person. Other reports claim the person is known, which said that an operation was being planned to target a hotel near the gateway to India, a Bombay landmark, and that assailants would come by sea. Now, the Wall Street Journal received leaks from U.S. intelligence to parlay the ever-present link between Lashkar-e-Taiba, Al-Qaeda, and Jihadi militants, emphasizing every possible link to Western terrorist operations, if you can believe that. Staff reporter Susan Schmidt dutifully toes the party line, saying, Lashkar, the Pakistani group suspected in the Mumbai attacks, has a history of documented links to Al-Qaeda and has trained many of the militants who have landed in U.S. and British jails since 9/11. The group is of particular concern to intelligence officials and terrorism experts because it has become a major gateway to jihad for some disaffected people in the West, including converts to Islam. She goes on to say, Lashkar has been enmeshed in Pakistan's long struggle with India over the disputed territory of Kashmir, but it has also been a training hub for militant Islamic figures who join conflicts in Afghanistan, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Chechnya. Now, that's a huge claim, too broad to be true. And in any case, she says the group has received funding from donors in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, including from an al-Qaeda financier, according to U.S. government testimony and Central Intelligence Agency records. Now, notice that she has no access to these records. She's just quoting what self-styled terrorist experts who are always working for the government, or at least cutouts from government, say, but nobody has any information to back up any of this. She says Westerners who have passed through Lashkar's training camps, in other stories, these camps were labeled al-Qaeda camps or Taliban camps, so I guess the labels changed to suit whoever's the latest target of U.S. vilification. And she lists all of the known U.S. and British terrorists that passed through these training camps. I remember the reports that these were labeled Taliban camps one time. These were labeled al-Qaeda camps at one time. I mean, whose camps are they? You know, what many of us analysts expect is that these are, in fact, cutout camps for the CIA, that the CIA actually runs al-Qaeda at the very top levels, even though there are a lot of anti-Americans actually being trained in the camp. They don't know who's running the show from the very top. Now, the CNN reported that Mumbai police believe a senior Lashkar planner in Pakistan masterminded the Mumbai attacks. And his name is Yusal Musamil. We'll hear a lot about him in the future, I'm sure. And a secret senior Pakistani official confirmed that India has told Pakistan that the attack was planned by Mr. Musamil, and his name to appear on a list of 20 people who India is demanding that Pakistan turn over to them, and India or Pakistan is refusing. Now, all of this is highly unlikely, mainly because real terrorists don't use satellite cell phones or normal email to communicate with their people about an operation. They all know that satellite phones, cell phones, and emails are monitored by the U.S. and other intelligence services, and if they do use them, they use stolen cell phones not traceable to the principals doing the directing. Controlled terrorists, on the other hand, always use traceable phones, since this allows their handlers to show they are busy intercepting terrorist calls, which in turn justifies more warrantless surveillance. These kinds of leaks smack of manufactured information to poison relationships between India and Pakistan, just as Pakistan's new president, Zardari, was making peace overtures to India. Now, there was indication of advance warning here. CNN reports that the Taj Mahal Hotel in Mumbai temporarily increased security after being warned of a possible terrorist attack. The chairman of the company that owns the hotel is Tata Motors Group, India's largest automaker. Chairman Ratan Tata said those measures, which were eased shortly before this week's terrorist attack, could not have prevented gunmen from entering the hotel. Of course, what they did essentially is beef up security at the front door, and they had a metal detector there, and one or two very minor unarmed security people here. He said all our arrangements were in the front, and so they came in the back entrance. Well, you know, that was fully predictable. High security in one area of the hotel guarantees that the attackers will seek out weaker positions. The hotel needed armed guards and lots of them, but the Indians have a tradition left over from British occupation of discouraging armed guards in private and in public. The UK Guardian also had confirmation of advanced warning to India from the US. The US warned India before the Mumbai attacks, the senior Bush administration said today anonymously, fueling criticism of the Indian government's lack of preparedness. While India has not accused the Pakistani government of direct involvement in the attacks, it has said it believes the 10 gunmen, including the sole survivor, belonged to Pakistani-based militant group Lashkar-e-Taiba, which has previously been linked to elements of Pakistan's ISI military. As police continue to retrieve bodies from the hotel, they remain sealed off. But another target, the Café Leopold, was briefly reopened. This is a famous tourist restaurant with one of the first attacks and was open for the first time after the violence. But then it was quickly closed down by police, who said it had not obtained the required permission. You know, if India worried half as much about arming its police and protecting its citizens as it does about enforcing impossible bureaucratic regulations such as this, this could have been prevented or at least ameliorated. In any case, Lashkar, according to all of the leaks, maintains a close relationship with Al-Qaeda and other jihadist organizations. Of course, that link is because of their mutual ISI and CSI links, those that have directed these ever since they were financed to help take down the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. And of course, the U.S. government claims that they lost control of these people, but there is no evidence of that, especially since they continue to have so many links and connections with these black operations in the United States and Pakistan. You know, ever since the election this year of a civilian government in Pakistan and the replacement of Pervez Musharraf as president, with President Zardari, Benazir Bhutto's widower, there have been hopes that the relationship between Islamabad and Delhi might be improved. This well may be one of the real motives for the attack, financed by U.S.-connected ISI in Pakistan. The U.S. is still stung by the removal of its Pakistani puppet, Musharraf, who ran the ISI on behalf of the CIA and may well have set Zardari up for this disastrous downturn in India-Pakistani relations. Now, I do think that there was a deal made with Zardari when he was allowed to come to power, perhaps to stay out of the way of the ISI and the army. But Zardari has since closed down the ISI's political wing, hoping to curtail its black operations planning wing. It is also possible that the real U.S. target may be the destabilization of Prime Minister Gilani, who has been loudly complaining about U.S. violations of Pakistani sovereignty and attacking civilian targets in western Pakistan. Virtually all of the establishment news reports touting U.S. determination to shut down Al-Qaeda and the Taliban inside Pakistan are simply repeating government propaganda. It's all a front. The U.S. never intends to shut down terrorism, especially not its own. So why is Indian security so corrupt and ill-equipped? The media always evades taking notice of the communists there as if they don't exist anymore. Much of the blame for India's woes goes to the large number of communists elected to parliament who continually work to keep both Indian citizens and the police disarmed. And, of course, thwarting the attempts of India to buy Western arms, prefer instead the continual link between India and Russia. But even without the communists playing a major role in Indian politics, corruption is a way of life in South Asia. India's warlords and fat cat governors have played roughshod over the people for centuries, and that is hard to root out. Our next topic will be the Obama Dream Team, turning into a future nightmare. President-elect Obama has announced about half of his new cabinet, all the important ones, and enough to be worthy of comment. Here's the list so far and why I think these choices are all choices by the same globalists that run the Bush administration. Secretary of State will be Hillary Clinton. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, holdover from the Bush administration. Secretary of Treasury Timothy Geithner, a Kissinger associated, same kind of insider as Hank Paulson is at Treasury. Secretary of Commerce Governor Bill Richardson. Secretary of Health and Human Services, former Senator Tom Daschle. Attorney General Eric Holder, a real problem. And National Security Advisor General James Jones, an inveterate globalist. Chief of Staff will be Rahm Emanuel, former Democratic Congressman from Illinois. Now, these picks are certainly indicative of Washington's revolving door philosophy, but it's even more complex in that virtually everyone who serves in high government positions must toe the line of the globalist controllers who call the shots. Most are members of the Council on Foreign Relations or Trilateral Commission, and if they aren't, They're usually avoiding the public exposure but agree with their globalist principles. Even those that are not knowing conspirators must at least show their willingness to be abject yes-men to those higher in power. So let's talk a bit about the handlers. Even the president must acquiesce to those who call the shots, though they never try and directly challenge the president unless he gets too far out of hand. Then subtle and not-so-subtle threats are applied. In every presidency, there is one primary advisor designated as the president's handler, whose job is to make sure the president complies with various, quote, suggestions given him in daily briefings and high-level cabinet meetings. Most often it's the national security advisor, but for the first time ever during the George W. Bush years, it was the vice president, Dick Cheney, who was his handler. Now, here's my best estimate of past presidential handlers, starting with the Wilson administration. And there are two exceptions that did not appear to be controlled. Woodrow Wilson's handler was Edwin Mandel House. He was a globalist pushing Wilson into World War I and the League of Nations. Warren Harding had merely the Ohio Gang, a group of corrupt advisors. And I'll be back after the break.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
And this is Joel Skousen, editor of World Affairs Brief, back standing in for Dr. Stan on Radio Liberty. We're talking about the various handlers of the presidents through, at least I'm covering the ones from Woodrow Wilson on, to give an example how those that control government have someone who works very closely with the president to make sure that he does their bidding. The only two presidents, and perhaps three, who weren't controlled by these people with the globalist agenda were Warren Harding. He had his Ohio gang, Harry M. Daugherty and Jesse Smith. These were non-globalists accused of corruption, probably guilty of significant corruption during the Prohibition era. Calvin Coolidge didn't appear to be controlled. He was in favor of free enterprise and resisted intervention in foreign affairs. Herbert Hoover also appeared to be non-controlled. He was very much a free market person and anti-intervention. I think the powers that be did sabotage his legacy so that he'd get the blame for the Depression. Franklin Roosevelt was controlled by a tremendous amount of people. He was just surrounded by advisors, Lewis Howe, Bernard Baruch, Harry Hopkins, Henry Morgenthau, who was probably the globalist of the group, Harry Dexter White and Alger Hiss. All of these were communists or fellow travelers with communists that surrounded him. And some of them, like Baruch, Hiss, Hopkins, and White, may have been active in both globalist and communist camps. Harry Truman's handler seemed to be George C. Marshall, chief of staff and secret globalist. He was the one who betrayed Red China to the communists by cutting off military aid to Chiang Kai-shek. Dwight Eisenhower seemed to be controlled by two people. His brother Milton was his private controller, very much a globalist, and John Foster Dulles, a very high-level conspirator in the globalist and OSS plot to control things in the government. John Kennedy was controlled by McGeorge Bundy. He was OSS, CFR, Carnegie Endowment for Peace, a hardcore leftist organization. He helped kill the Bay of Pigs invasion, by the way. He was key in getting Kennedy pull-out support for that. Lyndon Johnson was controlled by Walt Rostow, national security advisor, protege of Bundy, false anti-communist who designed the Vietnam War to fail. Richard Nixon was controlled by Henry Kissinger as his national security advisor. Kissinger was a protege of globalist William Elliott of Harvard University, an apologist for Russia and China. Kissinger, of course, guilty of too many sins to mention here. Gerald Ford was controlled by Brent Scowcroft, general in the Army, a globalist, a Kissinger protege, worked for Kissinger and Associates for many years. Jimmy Carter's handler was Zbigniew Brzezinski, his national security advisor, a very high-level globalist and co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, CFR. That's about as high as you can get. He was very much a believer in soft-pedaling the Soviet threat, pushing detente, and now he's pushing a hard line against the Soviet Union with the new Obama regime as an informal advisor. Ronald Reagan was controlled by George Shultz, a very high-level globalist who was the Secretary of State, and Frank Carlucci. Carlucci was really a dark-side CIA agent, later on went on to chair the infamous Carlyle Group, one of the largest of the mercenary organizations, insider corporate contractors with U.S. dark-side activities. George Bush brought in Brent Scowcroft again. That's second time he served as national security advisor. Once again, the former general and associate of Kissinger. So with Scowcroft in there, this was essentially Kissinger running the Ford administrations and the first George Bush administration. Bill Clinton had several handlers. One was Tony Lake, Strobe Talbot, assistant secretary of state, who happens to be Skull and Bones, Sandy Berger. He was a national security advisor and from the comparable secret college club, Quill and Dagger of Cornell University. George W. Bush was handled by Dick Cheney, and Stephen Hadley, his national security advisor, was also a Quill and Dagger person from Cornell. These are secret societies that essentially conspire to get their fellow people high up into government. And they are very much, in my opinion, tightly connected with the globalist agenda. Stephen Hadley, by the way, was a protege of Brent Scowcroft, which in turn gives him a link to Kissinger, who is probably the most dangerous of all the second-level globalists who have operated in and around governments. I've been given considerable thought to who Obama's handler is going to be, although his announced national security advisor is former Marine General James Jones, kind of a globalist wannabe. I'm convinced that Jones isn't suitable to be a director of the president's policies. Jones is the former Marine Corps commandant, was head of the U.S. and NATO forces in Europe, Supreme Allied Commander. He attended the Georgetown University School of Foreign Service, staffed by CFR-connected globalists who delight in indoctrinating students in international relations of a globalist bent. Georgetown later gave an honorary doctorate degree to spur onward. He is currently the chief executive officer of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Institute for the 21st Century Energy with a globalist agenda and the chairman of the Atlantic Council. That's the premier organization for pushing the U.S. into an international integration with the EU. Now, these are all relatively ceremonial positions, but they only go to people who are in the globalist club. Jones is also on the board of directors of Chevron and Boeing, both heavily involved in the globalist agenda and insider-connected U.S. corporations. As Jones' records demonstrate, he's typical of the ambitious military yes-man that has sought all of his career to please the establishment, but who's never been an innovator of globalist strategy or policy, hasn't written any significant articles developing the global strategy. And the same goes for Condoleezza Rice, who was Bush's national security advisor. She was a globalist lackey who at Stanford actively collaborated with William Perry, who would later go on to be Clinton's Secretary of Defense, to assist in technology transfer to China. But she was a messenger girl, not a leader. Same goes for Colin Powell. Neither is VP Joe Biden a good candidate. Biden is a bit of a loose cannon and an egotist. The establishment doesn't fully trust him to exclusively follow orders without letting his own personal agenda get in the way. Biden will be used, in my opinion, to twist arms in Congress, but little else. The vice president's staff will dwindle by a factor of 100 since the vice president won't be in this administration controlling all the branches of government as Dick Cheney did in the past. I'm convinced that Obama's new chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, will be his handler. Emanuel goes way back with Democratic politics, starting as director of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in 1988. He is known somewhat as a fanatic in his private lobbying for what he wants in Congress. Some of his most notorious episodes have been documented in his Wikipedia biography. Quote, Emanuel is known for his take-no-prisoners attitude. And we'll take this up after the break. This is Joel Skousen in for Unpeace Radio Liberty.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, standing in for Dr. Stan Monteith and Radio Liberty. Before I go on, let me explain to my listeners how they can get a free sample copy of the World Affairs Brief that we're discussing today. They can go to my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'll be happy to send out a free sample. There is a modest subscription price for the weekly analysis that I do on the internet, and if you'd like to subscribe to that and get that every week in your mailbox, you can do that by clicking on the subscribe button there. We're talking about Obama's dream team, his picks for his cabinet and staff surrounding him. We're talking about who Obama's handler might be, that is, who will essentially control the president. It's all presidents are attempted to be controlled by the powers that be, that control both parties. Rahm Emanuel has, as I said, a take-no-prisoners attitude that has earned him the nickname of Rambo. Emanuel is said to have mailed a rotten fish to a former co-worker after the two parted ways. On the night after the 1996 election, Emanuel was so angry at the president's enemies that he stood up at a celebratory dinner with his colleagues from the campaign, grabbed a steak knife, and began rattling off a list of betrayers, shouting, "Dead! This guy's dead! This guy's dead!" plunging the knife into the table after every name. According to Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch, Representative Rahm Emanuel ran political interference for Bill and Hillary Clinton in the Clinton White House. I think we can expect more of the same. Now, as a congressman from Illinois' 5th District, he has supported gun control, abortion, homosexual rights, and even mandatory 3 months of service for every citizen in this nation between the ages of 10 and 25, just like Obama. His father was a member of the Israeli Irgun, a violent underground movement that used terror against the British in Palestine, who were unfairly favoring the Arabs over the Jews. Emanuel himself served as a civilian volunteer in the Israeli Defense Forces in 1991 and may have ties to the Israeli Mossad. According to Wayne Madsen, the FBI has a counterintelligence file on him that's still active because of his past connections with the Mossad. This was presumably the reason he was forced out of the Clinton White House in 1998 as a security risk. In short, Rahm Emanuel comes from a very radical leftist background, just as Barack Obama does, and will have very little trouble influencing Obama without Obama feeling manipulated. Even George Bush, they treat him with some respect in the White House, even though he's just a patsy. Having Obama's handler in the chief of staff position also avoids having to keep an abnormally large secret staff, as Vice President Dick Cheney had to do, which eventually leaked out the size of his staff, almost 600 people. The chief of staff can tap any number of assistants from the hundreds of White House staffers in the West Wing, whereas Cheney had to insert his own people into every department of the executive to be his eyes and ears. Emanuel can merely use his chief of staff position to require that all departments come through him before getting to the president, which is standard procedure. Keeping Robert Gates on as Secretary of Defense is a key move by the powers that be. Gates has successfully diffused all of the hatred engendered by Donald Rumsfeld, though he toes the same globalist line. He's much more careful about it. Gates' presence will allow Obama to keep some conservative Republican support on the war issues that will abound during his term. However, word on the Hill has it that Obama team will be replacing all of the second-level Pentagon positions with their own people. Probably the biggest coup in the selection campaign is how Hillary Clinton finagled her way into the Secretary of State slot. The most savvy pundits feel this was a deal brokered months before when Hillary was offered to trade her endorsement of Obama for a position in the administration. She refused the vice president slot, knowing that she would be relegated to a token cheerleader position with no seat at the cabinet tables. I and others have supposed that she demanded the Secretary of State position because, first of all, it's a high-profile position. It has a huge staff, and it's relatively independent from the White House infighting that goes on. So it's going to be her own platform from which to continue to nurture her hopes to be president someday. Technically, Hillary isn't allowed by the Constitution to take a position in government. Article 1, Section 6, under emoluments, says no senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under the authority of the United States, which shall have been created or emoluments thereof shall have been increased during such time. And this obscure constitutional clause is to keep people from getting elected, moving into the administration, and getting a higher wage increase, which she would do as Secretary of State. But Congress will soon pass a bill to remedy that, as it did during the Nixon administration. The salary in Secretary of State will simply be adjusted down lower than what she currently gets. Politically, this new position ties Hillary to Obama's fortunes. She won't be able to run against him if he seeks for a second term. But at least it will allow her to compete for global Goldman News coverage. This woman will be a handful for the new president. I'd like to see who the powers that be would pick as Hillary's handler, should she ever become president, which I doubt. Though she doesn't know it, I don't think the U.S. kingmakers will ever again allow a person to gain the Oval Office who tries to run the whole show, as she certainly would. Now, much of the rest of the cabinet are either political holdovers from the Clinton administration or payoffs for earlier endorsements of Obama. New Mexico Governor and former Congressman Bill Richardson gets the Secretary of Commerce position for both his early endorsement and his ability to pull in Hispanic support. He will also be an advocate for illegal alien amnesty. He's also the former Secretary of Treasury, of Energy, and U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Richardson, like most insiders, has been made wealthy by being named to various compensated boards of directors. Richardson has served on the boards of Valero Energy, Diamond Offshore Drilling, and City National Bank. The board position Richardson must be, of course, less proud of is his service for Peregrine Systems, one of the military-industrial companies, during the time the company's executives defrauded investors while paying themselves millions in bonuses and perks. But these are really not controlling positions on boards of directors. These are positions which are awarded to insiders within those that are connected to government closely. They're rewards for compensation, essentially. This is Joel Skousen. I've been standing in for Dr. Stan of Radio Liberty. Everyone have a good day.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
the Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
And this is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, standing in for Dr. Stan on the American Freedom Radio Network. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm going over today's advance material from today's World Affairs Brief. It will come out. Listeners can get a free copy of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. We're talking about Obama's picks for his cabinet. Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano gets the nod for Homeland Security Director. At first glance, she appears to have some illegal immigration enforcement credentials based upon her Arizona proposals to sanction employers of illegals for their second violation, removing their business license. But in reality, she did this to give merely the appearance of saying, we're doing our part in Arizona, now it's up to the federal government to give us comprehensive reform, which is a code word for amnesty. Homeland Security, of course, is a sacred cow of the powers that be. They wouldn't hand it over to Napolitano if she was really going to close the border and stop illegal immigration. Critics of her appointment say she has mixed record on border enforcement, but not a shred of experience when it comes to terrorism. Well, since Homeland Security only goes through the motions of deterring terror, that shouldn't be disqualify her at the least. She'll have a handler inside the department, as do most secretaries, who will tell her how the world works with inside government. Now, one of the other most disturbing appointments, of course, was the picking of Timothy Geithner, head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Of course, the business community is very, very pleased. Business community has become very unprincipled. They simply want anyone who will continue the current crop of bailouts. And this, of course, is really a bailout of the friends of these people. But Geithner, in particular, has a tremendous background with the same kind of insider dealing that Hank Paulson is notorious for. He's a very young ninth president of the Federal Reserve. He serves on the Federal Open Market Committee. That's the insider plunge protection team that illegally uses federal money to manipulate markets. He worked with Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers, who will also play a role in this administration. And most interesting, of course, he got his start in foreign or in the financial world by working for Kissinger and Associates. And so he basically goes back a great deal with the same people who have given us the problems that we are having to deal with. Lawrence Summers will be Paul Volcker will be on the Economic Committee. He's some 80 years old, but he has worked with previous Democratic regimes. The point I want to make is essentially we're dealing with Team A and Team B here of the same globalist controllers. They have people who give the appearance that they're in opposition to one another, but most of them adhere to the same tactics. They can do some changes and some manipulation of how they appear, but we will see more war during the Obama administration. We'll see more bailouts. We'll be seeing much more government control, but that happened during the Republicans as well, and that's why they picked George Bush, so that he could convince conservative Christians to go along with his socialist agenda in the administration. course, it wasn't just George Bush's agenda. It was the agenda, I believe, of the globalist controllers who worked through
him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder.